I think of him just as one of Melbourne's great sports fans. I feel quite blessed that he's been part of this program from the morning of the sandpaper scandal in South Africa, and we lived through Jared Lyle with your connection to him. Andy Lee, it's a great pleasure to have you in the studio.
Nice to finally be in here. I'm a Waitley fanatic, so it's nice. I just got to admire you for the last 10 minutes as you're going about your business.
I'm not going to hog your order myself. So 9429 1116 to talk sport with Andy. Just before we do, so True Story is, it's season two, and tonight is episode five. Television, it's not reality television, but storytelling television or unscripted television, I think changes after it's been on air, usually for the worse.
Yes.
So Survivor has changed dramatically once people figure out the game.
Big Brother was one of those.
Yep.
Yep.
I don't watch The Bachelor or The Bachelorette, but I'm reliably told it has changed dramatically from a reasonably innocent proposition to something that's completely confected.
Yes.
It strikes me that True Story changes the other way. Once people saw it and go, I get this, and now they're totally into it.
Well, we had 1,600 story submissions for season one.
Yep.
We had over 8,000 for season two. And you're spot on, people, the natural competitiveness of Australians. Like, I've got a story better than that. And what we've also found was Hamish and I used our social media to find the stories early on, which was naturally a slightly younger demographic. So this time around for season two, the storytelling demographics shifted 10 years older.
Yep.
And we get to play in a lot more period pieces. So tonight's the 80s. It's about a guy called Phil, an 80s backyard barbecue. My dad got very nostalgic watching it when I showed him an advanced screening. And a dog that is chasing a ball, launches to grab it, misses the ball, and comes down and latches onto Phil's testicle. And then gets lockjaw. And it's not crunching down or anything. It's just perfectly housed in there. And it sparks one of my favorite things in life, which is drunk blokes trying to problem solve. And that's what tonight's episode is all about.
What are the charms to come in this season?
I think one close to your heart.
Mm-hmm.
We've got one set at the Melbourne Cup.
Oh, nice.
We've got, and a story that I thought, wow, most people would have known about this, but it's a fellow, he did something at a Melbourne Cup during the race.
Right.
And we looked it up, and sure enough, it did make news back in the 90s. But I hadn't heard it, and it's a great surprise. But it's a tough thing to try and recreate the Melbourne Cup. We've done as best we can.
Yes, cinematically, they haven't been able to do that necessarily very well.
No, it's tough.
All right, you'll take it on. True Story with Hamish and Andy, 8:40 tonight on Channel 9. Your sporting passions are well declared. So I'm going to take a stab at footy, golf, and cricket.
Go for it.
But we've just seen Tim Cahill, who's been announced as playing a farewell game.
Yes.
And his greatness. You've got a debate going.
I love Tim Cahill. My friend of mine, Dunk, thinks he's the greatest Australian sportsman of all time, not just footballer. Mm-hmm. I was lucky enough to first meet Tim with Phil Hughes. I walked into a bar in Sydney, and Tim Cahill and Phil Hughes were having a beer together, and they called Hamish and I over, and we had a beer that night, and so started a little friendship from there, which is just unique and exciting. But my mate Dunk thinks that, and it's hard to kind of argue against, it's the world game.
Yep.
It's classless. You don't have to have equipment and so on. So suddenly there's more people competing for these slots. And when I throw back at him Bradman, etc., he thinks that was a very uppity sport back in the day. That only certain people could get there. So you're competing against every single country in the world, every single person, which makes the pool a lot bigger. And then the way he has stood up in international games and international stage and delivered time and time again, it's hard to beat.
Your proximity to sport is both Hamish and you.
Yep.
Are there moments where you go, how did we find ourselves here?
All the time.
Yeah.
All the time. And people ask me about the best thing about my job. And it's you know, we've been very fortunate and there's money, all those things, but absolutely put all that aside, the chance to be on the front line for my favorite sporting events has been the greatest thing that I could ever ask for from what I've been doing as a living. And yeah, being on, you know, in the cricket change rooms and telling the joke before the World Cup final on the MCG, yep, and things like that, and just having these conversations. And what's interesting about these teams is they do love fans, and they're off, particularly with cricket, they're often looking for those perspectives. So yeah, I never offer them, but if I'm asked, it's a great chance to throw my two cents in.
How have you gone in the aftermath of the sandpaper scandal, which we all wrestled with on that Sunday morning, and then everyone sort of found their their own equilibrium after that. How have you gone with it?
I played, I had a hit of golf yesterday with Aaron Finch and Dan Christian, both great cricketers, and Finchie arrived in camp straight after for the ODIs. So I said, how was that? And he said, look, it was pretty glum. For me, and having chatted to a lot of the players and who are considered friends as well, I say to them that my initial reaction was extremely emotional. And I don't want to put that aside because I don't like the label of cheat. I think it's an awful thing to have to bear. And as sports fans, I think people, we're just as invested in our team and we carry that flag for our team. And so that slight was going to be not just on the team, but as us as fans as well. But the grey area with ball tampering and also just the sanction itself, it's a one-match ban. It's a misdemeanor, you know, in the rules of the game. It's viewed more as a misdemeanor. Obviously, for us as fans and for the team themselves, I think they just underestimated how big a problem it would be. And I'm glad that's corrected, that compass is corrected a little bit. But I think that's a greater question for cricket as a sport.
Yep.
To work out how, when there's so much grey area and within ball tampering or manipulating a ball, and part of the game is ball manipulation, a huge part of it, how do you make it a clear, concise rule? And look, no foreign object would be one of them.
Sandpaper on the field.
But that's I've come back a little bit from my original stance, which is, you know, despair.
What do you think the national mood towards cricket will be when it resumes in front of us in November, December?
They were really lucky with the timing, weren't they? To not have to go into any other tests and allow water to go under the bridge, I think was just a real blessing. If they had to walk straight in back into another test series, I think they would have been absolutely crunched. I hope people see it for what it is. A moment in time, it was a big mistake. That's my hope because I love the game. And I actually think it was getting to a really great spot. That South African series was incredible. So I hope it can pick up. You know, the Indians are playing really great cricket. But it'll be interesting. It'll take its time.
Alistair Cook's retired. We started the show with Michael Vaughan today. So, yeah, the greatest run scorer in English history is calling it a day.
Yeah. Yesterday, I was on the golf course. I was chatting to Finchie about it, and we're like, I think he's going to have to call it soon. I mean, obviously, he hasn't been performing too well, and they've been in strife, particularly about a top order. And Dan Christian was just nodding along, and only found out later in the day that he'd already knew. In confidence, he wasn't telling us, but he already knew. Apparently, Cook had gone in and tried to tell the team, couldn't get three lines out without crying. It was that emotional for him, and then everybody was feeling the same. And I haven't felt that with my work. I guess there's that camaraderie and also, you know, representing your country that the emotion takes over. But I'm not sure if I ever hang up the boots or retire. Hamish and I pretend to retire from radio every 2 years.
Yes.
So maybe it's got maybe there's less emotion.
Is golf your poison? Is that your passion?
For playing, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
How obsessively?
Three times a week at the moment.
Okay.
Yeah, if I can find partners. Most of my friends have proper jobs, so it's a bit harder. That's why it's good hanging out with sports people because they tend to be in off season.
Do you stray into a competition every now and then?
Yes, we have one with my friends from school that it's 36 holes. Every stroke counts. Everyone off scratch, back to back, and it normally breaks us all. And I'd just come off a bit of an incident last week, Jared. I had an abscess in my bottom. Very painful thing to go through. And I said to the guys, oh, look, I don't think I'll be able to play. Can we move it? And they said, absolutely not. That's one less person we have to
play. Yes, yes.
not that I've ever been a threat, really. But I went down, I played with a bleeding bottom. I wore a diaper. And I won by 12 shots. And it's the first time I've ever done this. And I've got a coach at the moment. I rang him. I said, you won't believe this. And he said, no, that's exactly it. You've got to have a heavier bottom when you golf swing. You don't manipulate that area. Make sure you turn through it. So for any young golfers out there, go and get yourself an abscess. I think it's the best thing.
And wear a diaper out on the course. That's the secret. It's the perfect segue to Hobbsy, who, hearing that you were coming on, said, I've known Andy since Norwood kindergarten days.
Yep.
Famously, I did taunt Andy in the playground with words. Andy Lee smells like wee and he'll never have any friends. He's never forgotten this.
It's true. Daniel Hobbs is his name. And yes, he used to tease me at kindergarten. He was the overlord of the kindergarten playground. I'm glad we actually came up against each other in cricket later on in life. But yeah, I'm glad he still remembers. I won't forget, Daniel.
He does conclude with, very handy junior cricketer too, 'twas Andy. True. There are a spate of stories, Andy Lee, about your golfing exploits. I'll only share this one. Andy, I played, so this is from Alex. I played behind Andy in the Portsea Pro-Am a few years back with Chris Dawes. We noticed after the first 9 holes that Andy wasn't wearing any shoes. We never found out why. I'd love to know.
Yep, I'd fallen in the... basically I fallen in the lake there and then decided just to go shoeless for the rest of the round. Funny story about the US Open, actually. Hamish and I were doing our TV show Gap Year, and we were living in New York at the time, and we asked Sam Stosur whether she'd come on as a guest because she'd made the final for the US Open.
Yep.
And it came back from her management that, yes, she would if she wins, but if she doesn't win, she won't come on. And we were shooting the show the next day, and Hamish and I had nothing for that particular segment, particular 2 segments. So our producer said, can you guys just put your heads together and think of something as a replacement? And we were like, no problem. And we went outside, went straight to the pub and sat there and drank and watched Sam Stosur, knowing full well that if she didn't win, we were in all sorts of strife, but we didn't think of anything else. We just drank and watched her win, and we were so thrilled. And we came back and said, well, I had a lot of great ideas, but we're going to have to go with Sam now.
No interest like self-interest.
Yeah.
Hey, was the end of the footy season merciful for a Carlton supporter?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Hard one to get through?
It was a hard one to get through. I thought that we'd win 4 games. So I wasn't particularly optimistic at the start of the season. No one likes the thrashings. The thrashings is what kills you as a supporter. Your gallant efforts, even though coaches will come out and say we don't want honourable losses, as fans, you can cop an honourable loss. So the thrashings became really difficult. But, you know, I'm always a bit of a half-full person. I think that we've genuinely gone into a rebuild phase, which is exactly what everyone's probably touting. But, you know, we played a lot of young people and it was a great chance to see them. And I think over the last few years, got some really great young guys in there. Next year will be a real test for the coaching staff as well. I mean, I certainly think that Bolts is great and he's, you know, I think everyone should be behind him. But it would be really hard to judge with the cattle as to whether he's doing right or wrong.
Cripps and Curnow, have you got the makings of it, do you think?
I think so. I mean, the two, even McKay, so Curnow McKay as those two strong forwards, you know, that's a really exciting prospect because they're normally hard to lock down, those type of players, why Tom Lynch is so exciting at the moment for clubs and sought after. Yeah, Cripps, but I was excited by Fisher. I think that he was one that wasn't mentioned enough this year. And then O'Brien and Dow certainly need some depth there, but there's a good midfield in there, but I think that's what we're lacking.
All right. Call anytime.
Thank you. I will.
Come in again.
Cheers, I will. Thanks again.
Andy Lee in the studio today. So true story with Hamish and Andy, 8:40 tonight on Channel 9 and one of the city's best sports fans. Great to have him in. My pleasure to have you here.